Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh here on The Fan, AM 1250 and 105.7 FM. It is the Wendy's Big Show here on a Tuesday. There's no Sparky today. Tim Allen in for Spark. But there is a Leroy Butler and there is a Gary Ellerson as we hit the great Midwest Bank hotline and welcome in from Forbes.com, friend of the show's Rob Reichel. Gary, say hello to your good friend Rob Reichel.
Yeah, that's my good buddy Rob Reichel. I mean, you know what? Rob and I, we used to go way back, going to Packer games. He and I, and was that Lori used to ride with us? And
Lori and Mike Clemens. Yeah, we had some fun car rides, wouldn't we, Gary?
Who drove?
Well, you usually Mike Clemens if we could get him to go faster than 52 miles an hour. Mike is the opposite of a lead foot, and sometimes we'd have to, you know, poke and prod him a little bit to try to get up to the speed limit. But you were along on a couple of those as well, Leroy. Very fun trips.
Rob, the biggest thing, real quick, before we ask you some questions about the Packers is when Clemens is driving, he likes to look in the back seat and talk to you. I felt real uncomfortable with that. Me and Gary was on our Facebook Live post, and he wanted to be a part of the post, but the problem was we were in the back seat. He was in the front. I'm like, you can't be a part of it. I'm sorry. So every time he turned around, I'm like, oh, my goodness, this will never happen. Gary will never trap me again with this carpool because this is not carpool karaoke. No, I was scared to death. Rob,
I won't belabor the point, but Mike's one of these guys, too. Yeah, he gets on a story. His speed tends to fluctuate. You know, he hits the gas, and then he gets to the middle part of his story, and you look, and he's 58 again, and he's up and down through the course of his story.
Right.
And you guys know Mike Clemens well. His stories can last 11 and a half minutes. So, very fun trips, Gary.
You wrote a nice article here about Aaron Rodgers and how it may end up with him. And so we were just talking about it too, Robbie. And I feel like, though, that he will end his career somewhere else. I guess it's to be told whether he goes out like Brett Favre or does he go out like Peyton Manning, Robbie.
Yeah, and that, you know, and let's work under that assumption, I guess, just for that particular question, Gary, that he does wind up somewhere else. It would be, you know, how he would go out is going to be determined wherever, you know, by wherever his next stop will be. I mean, Tom Brady's was obviously, his move this offseason was obviously extremely, extremely calculated. He believes he can go score 30-plus points a game down there in Tampa and maybe have a chance to win. Peyton Manning spent 4 years in Denver, won a Super Bowl, was runner-up another time, threw 55 touchdowns in one season. I mean, won an MVP. I mean, he went out in style. You know, you wonder if it wasn't for the bounty and if it wasn't for so many ridiculously illegal hits, if Brett Favre would have hoisted another Super Bowl with Minnesota guys. But I mean, he didn't. And, and then the following year, Favre just, you know, was kind of done. His legs were shot, and in that 2010 season, he just didn't have a lot left, and he ended up getting injured. But Gary, there's a lot of guys that have gone on and done well in their second and even third stops after a team decides to move on from them when they hit their late 30s. I think that's going to be the case with Aaron. Probably not until 2022 when the cap hit is a lot lighter than it is today. But I do think Aaron Rodgers finishes in another jersey, whether that's you know, New England if things fail here with Stidham, or if it's Denver, for example, if Drew Lock doesn't work out, or the Colts, if, you know, this thing with Phillip Rivers doesn't work out, wherever it is, he's, you know, Aaron's unbelievably bright and smart, and I can tell you right now, he's already moving his, you know, pieces around the chessboard to figure out what's going to work well at what particular time when he winds up getting out of Green Bay, and I can guarantee you Aaron's going to give himself the best possible chance to win another Super Bowl outside of Green Bay to make Green Bay look, to make Green Bay look silly for moving on from him, which I think we all assume they're going to do here a couple years down the road.
Yeah, Rob, I want to understand the thinking because Aaron, I want to go back to the Jordan Love draft. He said something in his interview that the controllables change. And Bob McGinn had an article about he thought that one of the reasons why the Packers selected Jordan Love because they would have leverage over Aaron Rodgers in the future. And then when Aaron said it does change the controllables a little bit, so it seemed like they have to make a decision. You know, you can almost map it out. They have to make a decision on who's going to be the quarterback in the future. And at the same time, Aaron said he wants to play into his 40s. That's the reason why that could be an issue. That's why the Tom Brady template seems more likely that he may want to play and the team may be ready to move on. So I just think that, do you agree that it does change the controllables a little bit? The team has the leverage, or do you agree that Aaron Rodgers still has the leverage?
No, I think the team now holds all the cards, all the leverage, Leroy. And, you know, Aaron had talked to reporters a couple weeks back for about 40 minutes, and I think he used that term control about a dozen times during the course of the interview. I mean, again, he's really bright. He's smart. He gets it. I mean, he saw how things kind of changed with Favre 15 years ago. Favre kind of held the organization hostage year in and year out, every particular offseason with the retirement talk, will he or won't he? And obviously we hit a point, or the organization hit a point where they were kind of tired of it, and Rodgers fell into their lap and Ted Thompson took them. And the thing I don't think we'll ever know, Leroy, is just exactly how good or bad the relationship behind the scenes was this last season with LaFleur and Rodgers. I mean, I know everybody said all the right things in a public setting, but actions speak louder than words. And I think when they went ahead and made the pick for Love, coming off 13-3 and a game away from the Super Bowl guys, where the general manager and the head coach had a lot of house credit built up, I think that lets you know maybe things between Rodgers and LaFleur weren't quite as copacetic as maybe some other people wanted you to believe. And if Matt LaFleur potentially went to Gutekunst and said, all right, you know, if I'm here for the long haul, coming off a 13-3 season where LaFleur, again, his cred was never going to be higher than after last particular season, and he had maybe come to the realization that he didn't want to spend the next 5 years, let's say, with Aaron Rodgers, it was the perfect time to go ahead and get a quarterback. And so by going ahead and getting Love at 26 and trading up in the draft and getting him in round one, I don't think there's any question that things inside that organization changed dramatically on that Thursday night. And just from a power and control perspective, Leroy, I mean, some of the liberties and freedoms maybe Rodgers would have taken for granted in the past may have changed now. I mean, the Packers have his replacement sitting there day in and day out. And, the only question is, when do they pull the trigger and go ahead with Love? And, you know, this just gives LaFleur and it gives Gutekunst some options that they didn't have a few months back.
No, it really does. And I think when you start looking at the whole situation, the joy, because to me, Robbie, when you look at long term, the Packers may be ahead of it in that, and I keep referencing this, this could be the Tommy Maddox pick when they tried to go get that pick and it didn't work out for the Broncos and Elway still was there. I mean, I'm not saying Jordan Love is Tommy Maddox, but if he is, I think the Packers still have enough time to get out from under that pick.
Oh, I think so too. And, you know, and really, Gary,
meaning if Rodgers continue to play well and gets another contract, yes.
Sure. From the Packers' perspective, Gary, you know, this could work out extremely well. I mean, I guess there is a possibility Love really turns out to be the Garoppolo of Green Bay. I mean, if this inspires Rodgers to come back and play at the 2014 or 2011 level that Aaron Rodgers was at when he was winning MVPs, or 2010 when he led him to a Super Bowl championship, Jordan Love's never going to see the field, is he? I mean, if Rodgers somehow takes Green Bay to the Super Bowl here in the next couple of years, they're not going to move on from him. There's really just no way. And, you know, so if you're sitting there as Gutekunst and now all of a sudden Rodgers, you know, really rallies and plays a lot better than he has the last two or three years, and let me just say for the record, Gary, I don't think he's going to. I think he's kind of past his prime. I don't think he's going to do that. But let's just say theoretically he does, and he reverts and returns to form of MVP and Super Bowl championship quality play. Then obviously it's a home run for the Packers, and you move on from Love, and maybe you trade him like Belichick did with Garoppolo, and you get something for him there. So yeah, I think it's got the potential to be a win-win for Green Bay. The only way it really blows up, guys, is if Rodgers is annoyed, wants out here in the next 12 to 24 months, and Jordan Love just simply can't play, Gary. If Jordan Love turns out to be Rich Campbell, then obviously this is all going to blow up in everybody's face, and they're going to look extremely foolish over there.
Now, how would he walk out, though, Robbie?
Well, I mean,
he demands a trade.
Sure, he demands a trade. I mean, 2 years from now, Gary, let's say the Packers believe they've seen enough from Love, and they misjudge the situation, and Love isn't ready, and it turns out that he plays poorly, and they move on from Rodgers. I think 2 years from now, Gary, the cap hit's only about $17 million, and Jordan Love's gonna get paid about $3 million a year, Gary, when they eventually settle up with him and give him his money. So the quarterback position will only cost them $20 million, even when they move on, you know, in 2022 from Aaron Rodgers, where right now you're looking at almost double that total with what you're paying Rodgers. So, you know, I guess that would be the biggest way, Gary, if it works out that way. But again, I mean, I can't wait to see Love. We need football back, and you know, then I think we can all start making far. You know, instead of these assumptions, we'll actually have something to back it up when we see these guys start winging the ball around live over there in Green Bay.
Leroy?
Well, Rob, this is the last one. This is the last one for me, because I want to move to the head coach thinking about changing the whole entire offense. If that'll be okay with you running the football all the time and not throwing the ball. I mean, would you like? You don't mind covering a San Francisco type team. I mean, it would be great if they were winning, right? Or do you like to see them go back to what the Mike McCarthy era, the way they're throwing the ball 35 times a game?
Well, I can promise you, Leroy, no one's going to ask me what my opinion is on that.
I'm asking you now. I'm asking you.
I appreciate you.
I'm asking you.
You know, I'm asking you. Right. It's a copycat league, as we all know, Leroy, right? Whatever is kind of instinct is what a lot of people love to do, and LaFleur kind of comes from that background. I'll tell you what, they're certainly positioned and they're structured right now to run the ball as well as they have in the last decade plus. You guys remember late in Brett Favre's career when, you know, Favre was probably 35 at the time. I guess it was 03, so Favre would have been 34. And Amon Green had his huge year. He had 1,883 yards rushing. And he, you know, probably the best season we've ever seen from a Packer running back. They ran the ball that year about 52% of the time with a Hall of Fame quarterback under center. They've wanted to do that at times, Leroy. Even McCarthy, even though McCarthy said all the right things and they still threw the ball, believe me, Mike McCarthy did want to run the ball more than they did. Some of that wasn't, you know, totally up to him when Rodgers kept going to the line of scrimmage and changing the plays. But when Eddie Lacy was in his prime, when Ryan Grant was running well, I really believe, guys, that Mike McCarthy.
Wait, Robbie.
Yes, sir.
Robbie, what about these people that were saying like the offense was stale and unimaginative, and then you come on and say, well, but Rodgers pretty much was kind of checking off and doing what he wanted to do, then shouldn't Rodgers take some of that too?
Oh, I think Aaron Rodgers deserves a large amount of blame for the way things went near the end of the Mike McCarthy era and the way that offense, you know, kind of looked at various times. No question here. I mean,
okay.
And I think some of that has matriculated down now, Gary, to the Matt LaFleur relationship, because I'm sure at the end of last season, Matt LaFleur threw his arms up in the air and said, do I really want the number one employee inside my company changing this much of what I do and challenging me this often at the line of scrimmage? And I can guarantee you, Gary, that factored into the decision to draft Jordan Love. There's no question about it. I'm sure Matt LaFleur said,
Well, let me ask you this thing. Do you buy into the notion that Leroy that said that someone said, I forget who said it, that Matt LaFleur mandated, I don't know if that was the word that was used, that they should
Schefter
said that he mandated they should take Jordan Love when they took him. Did you see that somewhere or no?
I did see that, and I mean, one of the beauties this year, guys, of the draft when they were inside close and personal with the cameras on coaches and GMs inside their homes, and they went to those guys right away. You saw the camera pick up Matt LaFleur, and it looked like it was Christmas morning for him. I mean, when he was given that pick, it was permagrin, guys. He was smiling ear to ear. So you knew Matt LaFleur certainly on board with that pick. This wasn't a Brian Gutekunst power move to get his own quarterback or anything like that. The head coach and the general manager were clearly in sync with this pick. And, you know, the camera caught both of them. Brian Gutekunst hinted already back at the scouting combine guys in February when we talked to him down there. And that's really the last time we've seen any of these people. But that was Brian Gutekunst really hinted and indicated back then in February he would really strongly consider a quarterback. And that's when a lot of the Jordan Love speculation started. And obviously there was fire at the end of the day from the smoke. And no, Gary, I totally think Matt LaFleur was all in here on Jordan Love. Well, I mean, we'll find out, guys, if they got the right guy or not. If they got their Deshaun Watson, or again, if they're going to, you know, if they got their Mitch Trubisky, we don't know. That's going to be the fun of the next 2 or 3 years here, watching this all play out. But I think they clearly believed inside the organization it was time maybe to move on here in the next couple of years from Aaron, and they felt this was the best possible time to do it in terms of, you know, coming off a highly successful season. They could risk taking a quarterback and trying to groom him for the future and move on for another decade plus of really good play at that particular position. I'm just one of these guys now who can't wait to see him play live, because it's going to be fun to watch this all play out.
No, you're right on target there. We all can't wait to see how this thing plays out. Rob, it's great theater, and that's why we love the NFL. From Forbes.com, Rob Reichel, friend of the Wendy's Big Show.
You okay?
Rob, you have a great great day, and thanks for the time.
Thanks,
right,
Robbie.
Thanks, boys. Have a good day.
Yeah. You got it. He joined us right here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
As your passion outgrown your home, a Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935.
And up next, pick a lane, as we've got a lot on the plate for that. Stick around. Some interesting questions for you. Right now, it is J&J Contractors from Gary Ellerson.
Hey, my good friends over at J&J Contractors. Guys, go see them today. If you want to create that livable space or that office space, because you've been working at your house here for the last 2 months like we have all been, and now you're saying, you know, honey, I think my job is going to now let me work out of the house, you know, like 3 or 4 days a week now instead of coming in. And I've been doing it, you know, I've been doing my work out of the bedroom. I've been doing it in the corner. I've been doing it in the closet. Honey, why don't we create some space for me to work out of the house? And maybe we can use this as a tax write-off. Well, I mean, I don't know about your tax write-off, but I'm assuming that you could have in your company. Well, here's what I wanted to let you know. My good friends at J&J Contractors can come over to your house right now and build out that office space that you most certainly need. Or all of a sudden you guys are in his house, you're all there, and then you've got that basement that you never built out. And you've got the kids. Now they can build that basement out. Now the kids can have somewhere to go. Maybe you can go up to the bedroom or the main floor and get your work done. Guys, call my good friends up today at J&J Contractors and ask for Jason.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.